We're once again most appreciative for each and every one of you who have returned this evening to be with us as we have come together to study a portion of God's Word. We are truly thankful for the presence of all, especially those who are our visitors. We are glad that you are here with us. We want you to know that you're our honored guest. We do have some of our own number, as we mentioned this morning, who are out of town visiting relatives at other places. But in their place, we have relatives who are visiting members of the church here, and certainly we are glad for your presence. Hope that you have other opportunities to come back and to be with us. For the time that we have together this evening, I'd like to talk to you just a little bit about being successful. We live in a success-oriented society. I believe we can all say that. Everything seems to be geared toward that. Everyone is working hard in his or her own way to try to reach their own standard of what they call is success. It's also the time of the year, the closing of the year, when we begin to think about, we begin to make plans for the year that is ahead. We begin to think also about the past year in which we lived, and we begin to measure whether we were successful or not in the things that we wanted to achieve, in the goals that we had set. And that we begin also to make plans to be successful in the year ahead, and we have goals that we want to reach. And so this is, I believe, a timely lesson for us to think about those things which do make us successful. We strive to instill this kind of principle in our children as we're bringing them up, because in whatever endeavor they want to engage in, we want them to be happy. We want them to be successful. We send them to school. We pay large amounts of money so that they might be able to enter into college. We try to teach them from our own experience and from our own mistakes and failures so that they themselves will not make these mistakes and that they also would be successful and perhaps even more successful than we have been. But not only do they have that in the home, but also society pressures them as well as us into its own kind of thinking as to what makes an individual successful. And sometimes we adhere to those, and sometimes we find that it's not in keeping exactly with what the Word of God has to say. Perhaps we need to make the approach in a spiritual matters and in our spiritual growth as we do in physical matters. That is, the kind of success that we seek physically, perhaps we need to take those things and apply them to our life spiritually. We need to have the same kind of intensity that we have in physical success as we do in spiritual success. That we have that same kind of burning desire to be pleasing in the sight of God and be successful in His sight as we find that we do in the physical life also. And perhaps we need to take that same formula that we find that is successful in the physical world and apply it in other areas of our life, and especially in our spiritual life. Of course, we recognize that there are different goals that we must keep in view, and those things, those goals that we have in mind, and those things that we believe result in our being successful are a little bit different physically from spiritually. Physically, we might think that we are successful when we gain certain material possessions in this life. When we have that great job that we've been looking forward to. Or that when we possess those things that make us happy. Those are the goals that we have in mind. And when we achieve those, we feel like we have been successful. Now that's going to be a little bit different physically than it is spiritually. Because I'm convinced that the Bible teaches us that the way that we are spiritually successful is in a very simple way. And that is as we strive to be pleasing in the sight of God. We strive to be obedient unto His commands. And when we do that, when we achieve that, we are successful spiritually. We will grow as we ought, and we will be that individual that the Lord would have us to be. What is needed for us to be successful? We want to talk about that for a few moments this evening. And keep these things in mind as we are at the end of this year, making those resolutions, making those things and plans for the year to come. And let's see if we can incorporate those into the plans that we have. I am convinced that one of the things that's going to make us successful spiritually is the simple thing that we have talked about before, and that is prayer. Prayer is something, it is a necessary element if we are going to be successful spiritually. Next to the Word of God, perhaps prayer is the most powerful tool that we have at our disposal to be spiritually successful. Now, we know how powerful the Word of God is. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, it is the power of God unto salvation. Therein lies the power and the greatness of this Word which has been given unto us. It is God's power to salvation for everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, as Paul is describing the armor of God that we are to put on there, he describes the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit. It is that offensive weapon that we take in our hands and we go out and we meet the foe, and we can master the foe by using this powerful sword, this Word that has been given unto us. There is power that's found in the Word of God that will cause us to be successful. And next to that, I think we find prayer as a very useful and very powerful weapon that we have at our disposal to be successful spiritually. Prayer is something that we need to incorporate in our life. In Ephesians, as we mentioned, in chapter 6 and verse 18, after Paul tells there the armor of God that they are to put on, he makes mention of prayer by saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. This is something that is a part of the armor that we have that is given to us by God. As we express our desires, as we give thanks unto God, prayer is one of those things, is one of those elements that is going to make us successful spiritually. And if I am a person who does not pray, then I am convinced I'm never going to be a spiritual success. I'm never going to reach that goal that God has in mind for me, or that I have in mind for myself in His kingdom and the work that He has for me to do. If I am not a person of prayer, then I am not going to be successful spiritually speaking. All we have to do is look at some of the examples that we find in both the Old and the New Testament, and we would look at these individuals, and as we consider whether they were successful or not spiritually speaking, we find one thing or the other, that if they were successful, they were people of prayer. They were people who prayed unto God and made their mind and made their will known and gave God thanks for the things that He had provided for them. Jesus was a praying individual, and I think that most of us would consider that He was a very successful individual in the flesh. Here was someone who prayed unto God. Now, He is our example in all things. But we find in His life, although He was the Son of God, He was God in the flesh, on many different occasions we find Him expressing His thoughts to God in prayer, to God the Father in prayer. On those occasions when He would think about His disciples, on that occasion when He was choosing His disciples, He spent all night in prayer unto God. And several times we read that concerning Him, that He prayed unto God all night long, it said, on very important occasions in His life. And I think we can determine Jesus prayed unto God. And here was someone who was successful. Here was someone who followed perfectly the will of God. Now, we're not going to be able to do that. But the example that is before us in Jesus Christ, who was perfect, He was an individual who was a person of prayer. We look to the Old Testament. We find several examples there of individuals whom I think we would classify as being pleasing in the sight of God, who we would say would be very successful. Daniel is one of those. We turn back to the book of Daniel. We find time and time again he expressed his thoughts unto God in prayer. In Daniel chapter 6, we find an edict coming from the king Darius that says that no one was to petition any other god except Darius, the king. But Daniel was not about to change his habits. And Daniel was not one who was going to hide that he prayed unto God daily. As a result of that, he was thrown into the lion's den. But God provided for his care and for his protection. Here is a man, again, that I believe we would consider successful in the sight of God, and he prayed unto God daily. Paul in the New Testament, how many times in the epistles, as he wrote, as he opened the letters to the different congregations, did he say that he made mention of these individuals in his prayers unto God? They were always in his thoughts. Paul was an individual of prayer. In Philippians chapter 1, we find as he is writing there to the saints at Philippi, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in each prayer of mine, making request of you with all joy. We turn over to Colossians and we find the same thing. We give thanks to God the Father, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And as he gave instruction, he was one that would tell others, you pray for me, I'll pray for you. And I think we can truly say that Paul was a successful person. Wouldn't you think so? Wouldn't you think that God was pleased with him? Now, he wasn't successful as far as the standard that has been set by the world. Paul gave up everything that the world held precious. But in the sight of God, here was an individual that pleased God. Here was an individual of prayer. Prayer is something. It is an element that we must have in our life if we're going to be successful. That is, spiritually speaking. If we're going to be as God would have us to be. We look also at the early church. We find that these were individuals of prayer. There in Acts 2 and verse 42, one of the things that they continued in was prayer. In times of trouble in the very beginning, in Acts 4 and later on in Acts chapter 12, when the disciples were in prison or the apostles were there, the church would get together and they would pray unto God. There in Acts 12 and verse 4, the church had gathered together at this very grave time when Peter was in prison. And Herod had just killed James, and he was going to do the same with Peter. The church was there, and they were praying unto God. And we see the success that these individuals had as they went about everywhere teaching the Word of God. Once again, I think you understand, as we gauge success spiritually, here were individuals that were successful in the sight of God. Again, not in the sight of the world. We don't care about that standard that they set. We care about the standard that God has set. And to be successful is to be pleasing unto Him, and it is to be obedient unto the commands that He has given. And wouldn't we like to enjoy the success that these early Christians had, that Daniel did, that Paul did, that the early church found in their work and in their worship unto God? Prayer is an element that must be in the life of the child of God. And if it's there, then that's going to be an element that's going to bring about success for that person. Because prayer does certain things for us. Prayer brings us comfort and it brings us peace. Notice what Paul had to say in Philippians 4, in verses 6 and 7. As he is writing to the saints there at Philippi, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What is he saying here about prayer? He's saying it'll bring you peace. It'll bring you comfort. As all of the anxieties in the world are piled upon you, what you need to do is simply pray unto God. And you'll have peace and you'll have comfort. This is what prayer provides for us in this life. Prayer also brings about change. We see an example of that in James chapter 5 and verses 17 and 18. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Prayer can bring about changes. This is something that an individual who is going to be successful in the sight of God must incorporate in their life. They've got to be a praying individual. Also, we find that prayer is a prohibitive against sin. In Matthew chapter 6 there, as we studied a couple of weeks ago concerning the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, what he taught his individuals, disciples to say. And it says there in verse 13, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We pray unto God to be delivered from evil. Prayer is that prohibitive against sin. It calls us to be on our guard. And if we're going to be successful in God's sight, we're going to have to overcome sin. Therefore, prayer has to be a part of our life. And I think we can safely say that without prayer in our life as children of God, we have no hope whatsoever of success. We're not going to be successful in the sight of God unless this is a part of our life. There's another element that we want to talk about this evening, and that is, if we're going to be successful, we're going to plan. When it comes to physical or material things, planning is a necessary part if there's going to be any success whatsoever. I'm pretty sure that if you begin to think about the people who you know who are successful in this life physically, that they have plans, and they have followed those plans. They have set up goals for themselves, and they have worked very hard toward fulfilling those goals for themselves, and that they have prepared for success also. Whether the business they are in is large or small, they have plans. And they have goals that they want to reach far into the future, and they have made plans and goals for themselves in their day-to-day and week-to-week activities. And they set those goals and they make those plans and they work toward those goals. And they have them mapped out so that they can reach them. And any successful business individual has in mind, well, where do I want to be 1 year from now? Or where do I want to be 2 years from now? Or 5 or 10? What do I want to achieve? I have a goal now. Let's plan toward that goal. How am I going to reach it? These people have plans and they are successful. I am convinced spiritually that a lot of children of God get lost at this particular point because they don't plan. They don't make any plans for themselves spiritually. They have kind of a come-what-may attitude toward their spiritual growth. And if they grow, then that's fine. And almost the same attitude if they don't grow, then that's also fine. But I think we need to take the same kind of aggressiveness and intensity that we find in planning physically, but also planning spiritually. A lot of times we find individuals and even congregations collectively who have no definite goals in mind. Some people and some congregations are content just to rock along year after year, doing nothing, making no plans, and just making few changes whatsoever. They don't have any goals in mind. And at the end of a year, or 5 years, or 10 years, there's not any change. There's not any improvement that has been made. And one of the reasons is they have not planned for growth. They have not planned to succeed. And it's unfortunately, there are no goals, there are no objectives that they have planned for. But you know, the Bible is filled with plans. The Bible is filled with goals and desired objectives. And there are blueprints and there are patterns that are found throughout the Word of God. Now, we may not think of them in this way, but they are there. One of the things that we talk about to those who are alien sinners is what? The plan of salvation, or the scheme of redemption. We have a goal in mind for this individual that we want them to be saved. We want their sins removed and they might stand justified before God. And God has given us a plan whereby we can reach that goal. Now we might think, well, this is simple. This is not really the plan that you're talking about, but it's a plan. For them to reach that goal of justification in the sight of God, they must have faith, repent, confess, and be baptized. They've got to follow that. They've got to reach that goal. They've got a plan in order to reach the goal or the objective that they have. You know, God, under the old law, had planned to rule the Jews through the judges that he would send unto them. And he did that time and time again. That's what he wanted. They desired, though, a king. And God gave them a king, and God ruled them through that king. He had plans. He had patterns. The Ark of the Covenant, the temple that was to be built in the city of Jerusalem, all of these had plans and had patterns that were to be followed. In the New Testament, we find that Christ sent out his 12 disciples on the limited commission and later on 70 on that commission in Matthew chapter 10. And they had a plan. They were to go from house to house. They were to teach the word of God. We find that there is a design, there is a plan in the church that Jesus Christ established, that which he purchased with his own blood. There's a pattern that we have to follow. We find in Paul's journeys, there were plans that were there. And he followed that. He went from place to place. And he taught the word of God. God sends us out into the world to teach the gospel unto a lost and dying world, unto people who are separated from him because of the sins that they have committed. That's a plan that God has. He has told us to go. And we need to formulate the plan for that to come about. We need to teach the world the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are plans we need to make for ourselves and our spiritual growth, for the growth of the church here and elsewhere throughout the world, for the gospel to be spread. Individually and collectively, we fail many times simply because we don't plan. We do have a come-what-may attitude toward our spiritual growth, toward striving to be successful in the sight of God. And it's almost an attitude, well, if we grow, that's good, but it's also all right if we don't grow. This is a way that some Christians approach their spiritual growth. They don't plan to study the Bible. They don't plan to teach others the Word of God. And they don't grow themselves. But I am convinced that if we are going to be successful, that is, spiritually speaking, we'll have a plan. We'll make preparation. We'll have goals and objectives for ourselves and for others as we work together so that we can grow. We'll plan so that we can be successful. There's another thing I think that we need to include in this, and that is that we expect to be successful. Preparing for and expecting success almost go hand in hand. In physical expectations, in an individual who has embarked upon some business that they want to build for themselves, if that person's smart and if that person is eventually successful, he expects to be successful. Oh, he knows he's going to have failures. He knows that from time to time he's not going to reach the goals or the objectives that he has. But he is going to expect some success, and he's going to plan for that. There's not many individuals who enter into a venture with expectations that they're going to fail. I dare say that any of you who have ever gone into business for yourself or been in some kind of business relationship with others, that you expected to fail. If you expected to fail, you wouldn't go into it, would you? You wouldn't start it at all. You expect to succeed, and you plan for that. The individual who does expect will have faith in himself and in the plan that he has devised for success. Now, spiritually speaking, there are far too many of us who have a pessimistic outlook when it comes to being successful spiritually. Things we have in our mind are doomed from the very beginning. We did that ourselves and it didn't work. We tried it years ago and it didn't work. And we expect failure even before we get started. Now, I'm not standing up here this evening before you and trying to teach the power of positive thinking. That's not it at all. We're going to expect failures. We know that we're not going to succeed every time. But we need to expect to be successful in our teaching. We do not need to be prophets of doom. You know, we have enough of those in the body of Christ already that before something is even begun, it's doomed. Because it failed before, it's going to fail again. And you know, with that kind of an attitude, we don't do anything, do we? If everything's going to fail that we try, we sooner or later are not going to try anything. We've got to expect some success in teaching others the Word of God, some success in our own spiritual growth and in the growth of the church. Some of us are just like the disciples when Christ said unto them on four different occasions, O ye of little faith. On four occasions, Christ rebuked his disciples for a lack of faith. And why were they rebuked? It's because they doubted. They were doomed to failure from the very beginning. If our work is pleasing to God, should we not pray for success? Should we not expect success? If we have any hope of success, we better pray unto God that our work does be successful. What is the foundation of acceptable prayer but nothing but faith? And what is faith? Hebrews 11 and 1 points out to us there, and also in verse 6, as we would define faith, as we talked about this on Wednesday night, it's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, and without faith it's impossible to please Him. What is the foundation of acceptable faith? It is prayer. So many Christians, though, are infected with doubt. We live in an age of skepticism. Some ask God with no expectations of receiving anything from Him. Unfortunately, that's the way that it is. When they ask God concerning those who are lost, or those that are sliding back into the world and the ways of sin, or they pray unto God concerning the problems that are in the church, they expect no answer from God. They expect no change whatsoever. They'll pray for the sick and they'll pray for the daily bread. They expect that from God. But with other areas of problems, they pray unto God and expect nothing at all. Why is that? It's because we lack faith in God, just as the disciples did there when Christ rebuked them for their little faith. We need to expect to be successful. Again, keeping in mind there are going to be failures, but expect to be successful in pleasing God. The last thing we want to point out this evening is a simple word that some people don't like, and that's the word work. If we're going to be successful, we're going to have to work. I don't know of any person by any standard of success who did not work. Do you? Do you know of somebody who reached a stage of being successful or being considered successful by other people who did not work and did not work hard pursuing their goals? Many have worked hard to achieve success. It has become a consuming passion with them that they want to be successful. And the stronger that passion is, the more they work. They desire success. And they know that that means they've got to work. They know that their dreams are not going to fall into their lap already fulfilled for them. They're going to have to work for that. Spiritually speaking, here is another place that we often lose Christians. And that's when it comes to work. We have those who pray unto God for success. We have plenty who even make plans for their own individual spiritual growth. We have those who expect for them to be successful. But unfortunately, when it comes to work, this is where we lose a lot of people. They're not willing to put forth the effort. The Bible teaches us that success comes through work toward being successful. And once again, what is our success? We've got to keep that in mind. What is our success? It's not set by the standards that are found in the world. But we are successful when we please God. We are successful when we are obedient under the commands that God has given us. We are successful when we work toward that end. Someone has said that plans only work if we do. And that's true. We're not going to achieve success spiritually or any other way until we begin to work for that. The Bible sets out this teaching very plainly. In Matthew chapter 20 and verses 1 through 16, we have the parable of the laborers. Here we're individuals. We're talking about those that worked and those that received the reward. Matthew 25, in the parable of the talents, those two who received from their master, well done, good and faithful servant, those were the individuals who worked. In Acts chapter 13, in verses 2 and 3, in the case of Paul and Barnabas, we find concerning them that this was something that they did also. They worked. They labored in the vineyard of the Lord. Have you ever asked yourself, why were these individuals that we read about in the book of Acts, why were they converted unto God? Why was Cornelius converted? It was because somebody worked. It was because Peter went to that house and taught him the word of God. Why was the Philippian jailer and Lydia, why was the Ethiopian eunuch converted unto Christ? It's because somebody worked. It's because Philip and Paul and Silas and Barnabas and these other individuals that we read about in the New Testament, they worked. They taught them the word of God. They labored in the vineyard. If a Christian will not work, if he will not work, or she will not work, she needn't try to do, or he need try to do, any of these other things up here. If you're not going to work, you don't need to pray, you don't need to plan, you don't need to expect. Because we'll never be successful if we do not work. We are fortunate that we have others to help us in this endeavor. We're not in it alone. We have help from our fellow laborers in Christ, those who are also walking this pathway of righteousness, those who have a like precious faith as we do. We share in this work and in this labor together, and we have help one from another. We have help from God also. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 and 7. We have help from God in this work, in this labor that we are engaged in. And with God on our side, we have what we need to be successful. We might feel despondent if everything depended entirely upon us, wouldn't it? We would feel rather despondent and weak and incapable of doing all of this. But we have help. That help comes from one another, and it comes from God. We have our part to do in being successful, and we better make sure that we do it. God will do His part. He will do His part. We have our part also to do. And when we pray and when we plan, we expect, and when we work, we can be successful. There may be other things that we could add to this. We could probably start it off in the very beginning by study of the Word of God. That might be an element that is necessary if we're going to be successful. But think about these things as you're approaching the year ahead and you're making plans. Make plans not only physically, but make plans spiritually for yourself. Make plans that I am going to grow and set out some kind of goal to reach. And then work that plan so that you might grow. Let it not be haphazard. Let it not be with an attitude, well, if I grow, that's fine. If I don't, that's also fine. Let's strive to grow spiritually. Let's strive to be successful. Let's strive to be pleasing in the sight of God. Do you desire to grow spiritually? Do you want the church to grow? Then are you willing to do these things here? And again, as I said, maybe some other things that we could add to it. God wants us to be successful. He wants us to be obedient unto Him, and He's given us every advantage and every help so that we can be. We don't have to fail. Spiritually, we can be pleasing in the sight of God. But first of all, we have to have that desire. Are you here this evening and not a child of God? Do you have a desire to become one? Do you have that burning desire and that passion, that passion to be His child? He has given you His plan. You can stand before Him this evening, justified, cleansed of all of your sins. You can stand before Him as His child. He's given a plan. And that plan is simply this: to have faith, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That'll put you in the family of God. And after that, the plan is you are faithful unto Him until death. If you're here this evening and subject to the call of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the song has been selected. Won't you make your wishes known as we stand and as we sing?